Well, I think that there's some in the Senate who look at Jordan's qualifications and they compare them to the past, let's say, five OFPP administrators. Specifically, they compare him to the most recent one, Dan Gordon, and say, well, you know, this guy doesn't necessarily measure up based on his experience. Now, if you remember, Dan Gordon had, as you mentioned, 20 years plus of experience. Then you had someone like Steve Kelman, who's back in the 90s. And if you want to go further back, Al Berman. And if you want to go sooner, you know, closer forward, even you had Angela Stiles and David Savavian, who had more experience dealing with government contracting, being in that arena. Now, Senator Susan Collins says any administrator, no matter who it is, must have strong knowledge and experience of the federal government procurement system and have credibility with a broad range of stakeholders. I mean, those are just some basic qualifications. Jordan, who's currently the senior advisor at OMB, says he believes his experience makes him uniquely qualified.
Why do I think I have the appropriate qualifications and experience for this job, especially at this time, which, as you noted in your opening statement, is particularly crucial given all of the forces being brought to bear in the acquisition system? I think that my experiences in both the private sector and the public sector do make me uniquely qualified for the administrator position right now. In the private sector, I worked with various companies, state governments, and other entities on procurement and supply chain management issues, specifically things like strategic sourcing and other ways to buy smarter and use data-driven analytics to lower costs and improve value. And that's a big element that I think that I can bring to bear here.
Now, he also points out that when he ran the Federal Small Business Contracting Unit for SBA, the number of dollars prime contracts going to small businesses reached almost $100 billion in 2010. Now, he says he also managed people, hundreds of people, from both a policy perspective and contracting officer technical perspective. So he feels like he has insights in both areas of the acquisition process. So he says, you know, based on that experience he's had over the last few years, plus his private sector experience, it puts him in a good position to you know, kind of run OFPP.
And so what did he say were his top priorities should he be confirmed now?
Well, he outlined three major priorities, none of them specifically surprising, but I would ask people to pay attention to the order in which he talks about them. That's interesting.
First, buying smarter. Agencies' abilities to meet their missions in a constrained budget environment requires that they take full advantage of proven and innovative strategies for cutting costs and getting better results. We must leverage the government's buying power, increase competition, reduce high-risk contracts, and continue to deliver higher quality goods and services to agency personnel. Secondly, building the right supplier relationships. We must make it a top priority to do business with those contractors who are committed to delivering best value to the taxpayer. To this end, we must redouble our effort to document and share past performance information so that the intended benefit of motivating and rewarding good performance is fully realized. We must also continue our push to maximize contracting with small and disadvantaged businesses.
Now, Jordan said his third priority, no surprise here, is the acquisition workforce.
The acquisition workforce is the backbone of our acquisition system. Their skills and good judgment are inextricably tied to our government's ability to buy needed goods and services and deliver effective results. If confirmed, I will work closely with agency chief acquisition officers and senior procurement executives and our federal training institutions to identify training needs and ensure that we are making the appropriate training investment in all of our acquisition professionals. This includes not just our essential contracting officers, but also contracting officers' representatives who are responsible for contract management and program and project managers who are instrumental in acquisition planning and the development of contract requirements.
Now, in pre-hearing questions he submitted to the committee, which we have linked up on federalnewsradio.com, so if people want to read all 41 pages, feel free. Jordan also offers some other insights into his priorities. For instance, one question asked him more about the acquisition workforce, and he said he'd create actually service-level agreements between the General Services Administration, the Federal Acquisition Institute, and OFPP to more clearly establish roles and responsibilities of the three organizations. He'd also work with FAI to make sure that agencies have access to shared training programs. And currently, right now, FAI is surveying agencies about their acquisition training programs. Another tidbit that came from his pre-hearing questionnaire is that the Defense Department and the Homeland Security Department have actually created guidance to measure the cost of contractor performance as compared to the cost of federal employees. Now, I think this, and then determine which makes the most sense. I don't think this is something that we've talked much about before it's come out, but it was a pretty hot topic when you see organizations like POGO or congressional hearings about who costs more, who costs less, federal employees or contractors. Well, DHS and DOD now have guidance. Jordan said he's going to work with those two agencies, and eventually that could influence government-wide guidance on this topic. And I thought that was a nice little tidbit. And then one last thing that came out during his questioning yesterday was that the administration's call to cap contractor executive pay at $200,000. Well, Jordan may have broken a little bit from that call. He goes, yes, it needs to be lower than $763,000 that it's current at, but maybe $200,000 is too small, so he'd like to work with Congress to figure that out. He also said maybe there needs to be a waiver process where certain skills, such as maybe cybersecurity, that could the company could apply for a waiver to get a higher rate of pay, executive compensation. So I think those are some of the more interesting things that came out yesterday.
We are speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, there are two big timpani that Congress has had that they've been beating on. One of them says suspension. One says debarment. Did he mention what he would do in that whole area?
He did. He feels like the basic rules around suspension and debarment are solid. He says his experience at SBA, which took actually very aggressive actions against companies who said they were small but weren't or were considered what they call pass-throughs, such as what happened with GTSI, showed him that with training and focus, suspension and debarment works as a deterrent.
We developed a three-pronged fraud, waste, and abuse prevention continuum, including upfront certification, ongoing surveillance and monitoring, and robust and timely enforcement that was actually praised as a best practice by the GAO. So what would I do if confirmed? I would follow up with the agencies, especially on the point of naming a senior accountable official for suspension debarment, because I think that's important. You need the high-level focus to make sure that this is happening and that's viewed as a very important function, and then ask for further data on how they are looking at these actions and what considerations are taking effect when making or not making recommendations to suspend or debar.
Now, another big hot topic area that popped up is interagency contracting. That is the idea of, you know, the multiple award contracts, the government-wide acquisition contracts. OFPP put out that idea that you have to have a business case. Well, Jordan says he believes many times agencies forget the purpose of interagency contracts.
What I would do is take that business case process very seriously, as well as I would like to inventory the interagency contracts across the government and hopefully post those in a place so that contracting officers and agencies very quickly and easily can see, hey, there's a vehicle that already suits my needs. We don't need to go through the process of setting up a new one. Then that frees up their time to focus on the increasingly complex requirements for other contracts.
So now remember, this idea of a database has been tried before. You know, OFPP administrators in the past, other administrations, have not been very successful in creating this, what they call this multiple award contract database. So it'll be interesting to see what process by which he goes about trying to get this done differently. Now, Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, the ranking member of the committee, she says that Jordan should also consider doing some audits or random sampling to give agencies some pause when they're developing these business cases for new multiple award contracts.
All right, Jason, it's late in the administration, and you were sitting at that hearing looking into the senator's eyes. Is this guy going to get confirmed now?
Well, I think he's got a good chance to get out of committee. Now, Senator Joe Lieberman, the chairman of the committee, says he expects that the committee will vote on Jordan's nomination as early as next week, and then he expects him to be approved as well. Now, if that happens, then it becomes anyone's guess of when the Senate will vote to confirm. Now, if you guys remember when Jordan was nominated back in February, it was a little bit of a surprise, only because a lot of people in the acquisition community felt like he would, you know, the administration would leave Leslie Field, the acting administrator right now, in place for the whole year or most of the year and see how the reelection went. Because if Jordan gets confirmed, let's say by July or August, he may only be in place for 3 or 4 months, and that's not a lot of time for someone really to have any kind of affect any change. So what happens in the Senate, like most things, is anyone's guess.